Today I've got a story about early Oregon bandits, like turn of the century bandits. They came to rob and possibly to kill, but what they ended up doing was saving an Oregon pioneer family's life and then disappearing into the wilderness again. I'm Finn J.D. John. I write a weekly newspaper column called Offbeat Oregon History. It runs in about a dozen newspapers around the state right now. You're listening to a story that first ran in those papers on February 6th, 2010. I'm going to read it to you now, and if you'd like some more information about Offbeat Oregon history, well, stay tuned. There's a reason McKenzie Pass is closed in the wintertime. That's Highway 242 over the Cascades, running from Springfield to Sisters. The pass can be a dangerous place after the snow starts to fly, and that can happen any time after or around Labor Day. A century ago, though, the weather was only one of the dangers travelers on the pass faced. Highway robbers were another. These operators patrolled the pass looking for travelers who had gotten stranded by the sudden blizzards and frozen to death. When they found them, why, they'd appropriate whatever they happened to have. Horses, if they were still alive. Goods in the wagons. Whatever was there. Sometimes, when they encountered travelers who hadn't gotten around to dying quite yet, they helped the process along. And then, of course, they helped themselves to the now ownerless horses, along with whatever loot they could pack. Then they'd shove the wagons off the roadbank and into the canyon below. And this was exactly the treatment George Harvey Dyer expected to receive in the fall of 1897. And although it's not clear why he didn't, it's at least a good possibility that he was saved by his six children. Dyer was a Civil War veteran, a Southerner who'd been forced to fight further north after he was captured. This made him unpopular at home in Arkansas after the war, so he emigrated to Oregon and settled near Woodburn. But in the late 1890s, his wife died, leaving him with six children, three boys and three girls, none of them over 10 years old. And then he found out about an opportunity to work out in the town of Burns. Dyer packed the kids in his wagon and set out. He headed south to Springfield, taking advantage of the Willamette Valley's relatively excellent roads, and then took the McKenzie Pass route toward Bend and eventually Burns. This almost turned out to be a fatal mistake. It was late in the year, early autumn in fact, and if you've ever been over the pass in the spring or the fall, you know how striking and sudden the change of climate is there. While people are swimming in lakes and frolicking on beaches below, snow is piling up around the D. Wright Observatory. As Dyer got near the summit of the pass, his luck ran out. A blizzard settled in on him. Snow blew and drifted in the wagon road. His horses were floundering in it. The wagon was sliding behind them, dead weight, like a sled with no runners. Didn't look like they'd make it. That's when the highwaymen showed up. Three of them, on horseback, bristling with weapons. As Dyer's great-grandson tells the story, the old man, pretending not to know what they were up to, looked them straight in the eye and asked for their help pulling the wagon over the pass. The crest of the pass was just a few hundred yards away. After a long and chilling silence, they tied their lariats to the wagon and helped drag it to the top. Why would hardened criminals do that? Well, it seems likely that the prospect of murdering a wagon load of toddlers and elementary school-aged children was just more than they were willing to undertake. Or maybe they were just feeling unusually merciful that day. Who knows? In any case, had it not been for the arrival of those three bandits, the entire Dyer family would have frozen to death a few yards short of the crest of the pass. Thanks to the robbers, they were able to make it to Burns, where Dyer was able to take advantage of the opportunity he'd heard about and go into business as a casket builder. That's the end of today's column. If you're listening for the first time, here's a little more information about this podcast and about Offbeat Oregon History, the newspaper column it's part of. Offbeat Oregon History tells the stories of Oregon history that nobody knows about, the ones everyone has forgotten. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghaied sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. We've got all of those things. It's a weekly column, and I've been writing it since late 2008. So right now there are about 175 published episodes in the kitty. So every weekday morning, I pull one of those episodes up and put it out on the daily RSS feeds. One in text and pictures for your newsreader, and one in audio only for your podcatcher or for iTunes. You can read any archive column and subscribe to either daily feed by going to the website at offbeatoregon.com. Both feeds are optimized for smartphone or iPhone use, but they work great on an iPad, tablet, netbook, computer, whatever you got. All the columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Thanks for listening, and do drop me a line if you're ever in Corvallis and have time for a cup of coffee. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Have a great day.